great day. This was not a bad day. You know, there are those days. In chapter 26, we're going to start at verse 1. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. Talking about Uzziah tonight. King of Judah. Now, for you, you know, one of our greatest desires, one of our most fervent desires is to see you succeed in life. We want you to live a great life. I mean, this is the life you get, right? This is not a rehearsal. This is the real deal. So, you know, live it the way that God has intended for you, and it'll be great. You know, there are no reset buttons that you get to push if things start going wrong. You just have to kind of straighten it out and get right with God. But in this life that God has given us, you know, you don't have to be miserable. You can live a good life. You don't have to be miserable in your job. You don't have to be miserable in your marriage. You don't have to be poor, right? Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always, but you don't have to be one of them. Amen? I'm all about God providing and us prospering according to His plan. But of course, you have to take the right steps to get there. It doesn't happen just automatically. It doesn't just fall out of heaven. God gives us instruction in His Word, and He teaches us a lot through the lives that we read about in our Bible. If you're saved, you are on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. But being saved doesn't automatically give you success in this life, does it? Not automatically. Salvation is not that golden ticket that allows you to bypass all the trappings of life in this fallen world and go directly to glory. No, like the rest of humanity, the saved and the unsaved, we're going to have to deal with the trials and the temptations that come. Anybody here have trials and temptations in life? Yeah, I know you all do, and you're just shy to raise your hand. We all face trials, right? Trials are the testing of our faith, those things that challenge us as far as what we believe and how we're going to respond to it. And then there, of course, are temptations. Temptations are pressures that come upon us, emotional pressures, physical pressures, all kinds of pressures that push on us, tempting us to go the devil's way instead of following after God. So we're going to have to deal with the trials and the temptations to succeed in life. We want to be overcomers. Amen? We want to overcome the trials. We want to overcome the temptations because, you know, life can be ruined in a singular, monumental failure. All things can seem right and great and moving along, and then you hit that one thing that you just totally mess up on. There are men and women who have lived great Christian lives and made stupid mistakes. And as a result, their lives are to varying degrees at least a disappointment, and certainly not what they could have been had they continued to follow and submit to the Lord. We don't want that to happen to any of us. None of us. We want to live lives of success, and we want to see God's purposes established on the earth. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the message that You have given for tonight. I thank You, Lord, that we can learn from those in Bible history that teach us much about how we can live the life that You have called us to and give us a guideline, a post to shoot for. And Lord, I pray that as I preach this message, the things that are brought forth are things that will encourage and that will inspire, not to bring fear or worry, but that would inspire us to raise our own lives to a greater level that would bring glory to Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that as we go through this message, that Your Spirit will speak to each one of us in its unique way, that the Holy Spirit come and teach us the things that we as individuals and that is suited for our heart to receive, to get the impact that you desire. And I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, if you read through 2 Chronicles 26, it's a 23-verse biography of the life of Uzziah. Now, Uzziah was born in 808 B.C. He was crowned king at the age of 16, and he remained king until he died at the age of 68. And in case you haven't noticed, the Bible has significant portions dedicated to human biographies. This is just a short biography, but there are whole chapters and even books dedicated to the biographies that we find. It's not just a book of dogma and doctrine and principles and precepts. It's really got some interesting stuff in it. And when you read about the lives of those in the Bible, I want you to keep in mind, their success is an example of your potential. And so is their failure. We can learn a lot about what not to do as well as we can in what we should do. For example, Moses was a great man who was part of the salvation of Israel from the slavery that they were in bondage to Egypt for 400 years. He was a great man, but he made some mistakes too, right? We see David as an excellent example of this. We can aspire to many of the characteristics that David displayed and certainly his desire and heart for praise and worship and his following after the Lord and being obedient to the call of God. But then he did have some pretty monumental failures along the way. And of course, we can bring it into the New Testament. There was Peter. Peter, you know, head of the church. But he also had great failure in his denial of Jesus Christ. Thankfully, the Lord is gracious. Thankfully, there is grace that is extended to us, and we can recover from some of those things. So I want you to keep that in mind. We have great examples in Scripture, but we also have examples in our own lives. How many here know of people who were good, solid Christians who had a terrible downfall? I mean, in a spiritual, moral kind of way. When I was thinking about this message, I thought of three particular individuals in the life that Sarah and I have had together. What was that? Release the hounds. The fox hunt is on. All right. People who are watching this online, they did not catch that at all. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. Individuals that we have known, Sarah and I. For example, the pastor that performed our wedding ceremony. Great guy. We learned a lot from him, got a lot from him. And not long after he married us, he moved on to another ministry location in California. And we then heard that he had totally abandoned his position as a minister, abandoned his wife as a husband, and went on to do other things. And it's like, if you've been close to other ministers and have seen them fall like that, it hurts. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It's never been one of those things where I know some people think, oh, I'm so discouraged. I don't think this Christian thing is even real anymore. That's never been my assessment. It's always just hurt me to know that people who I knew were solid and strong and faithful and a blessing in the kingdom of God would fall away. There was another gentleman. This guy went to church with him. We supported him. He started a mission work in a South American country and worked hard there and made great strides there, had a network of over 100 different pastors that he had raised up. And the same kind of thing happened. He came back, he and his family came back, and they split, And I have no idea where he is these days. And it's like, oh man. And this was a couple that you looked at and thought, these are wonderful, wonderful people. Great examples in the kingdom. Another pastor at the church that we went to served as an assistant to a very highly known minister in the charismatic Pentecostal kind of movement. And he worked with this gentleman for a long time, and then he ended up, after the gentleman died, he came and was a part of the church that we were at as a pastor there. And he was great. I mean, he had some great programs. I don't know, Pastor Ben, have you ever heard of the Master's Commission? Yeah, he headed the Master's Commission, and I mean, this was a moving organization of young people being trained up for ministry. It was amazing. He was very good with pulling together children's ministry, and Sarah worked with him in the children's ministry, and that's where she really got a heart for children's ministry. And this guy is just so likable. You had to like him, and he was great. But these days, he's living with his husband in the Keys. Left his wife, left his family, changed his lifestyle. And I only mention this so that you understand, all of us are needing to be careful about how we live. And Uzziah is going to give us some examples here of how to live the right way. And then we're going to see at the very end how not to do. So let me give you five things. Five things. The life of Uzziah really was marked by great blessing and success and prosperity, but by the end of his life, it was ruined by a terrible mistake. So here are the five things that brought Uzziah success. Number one, we see it there in verse 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 5, it says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah. He sought God. That's what brings balance and sense to your life. You need to seek after God. See, seeking God is the most noble and profitable of all pursuits in life. Well, I want to help my fellow man. I want to end poverty. I want to bring about world peace. I just want to love everybody. Well, those are all noble pursuits. But the most noble and profitable of all pursuits is seeking God. Uzziah sought after God. Seeking God is what we need to focus our lives on. You seek God because of who He is. I mean, if you have any inkling of who God is, the greatness of God, the grandeur of God, the holiness of God, His righteousness and His justice, His love and His mercy, and His power in creation alone. If you have any inkling of who God is, you will seek after Him. You know, I found out, scientists have discovered that one strand of DNA holds the equivalent of 600,000 pages of information. 600,000 pages of information. Now, what are the odds of that occurring just by chance? Well, funny you should ask. Because there are folks who have done the math. Thank God for mathematicians who can think this big. It's been calculated that the odds of this DNA structure happening just by chance, you know, like evolutionary kind of chance, that the odds of that happening are 1 in 10 to the 40th, to the 40,000th, it's even hard to say, the 40,000th power. That is such a big number, you cannot even imagine it. You could write zeros on every atom in every star, in every galaxy, to come up with that big a number. Only God is worthy of being the center of your life, the center of your personal universe. Don't fall for the idea that it must be a man or a woman, a guy or a gal that has to be the center of your universe. No guy, no gal, no entertainer, no sports figure. Not your career, not your recreation, not your family, none of that should be the center. The smartest thing you can do in life is to pursue God. Seeking hard after God elevates every other area of your life. If you want to find that perfect person, that perfect guy, that perfect gal, seek after God. That's how you find him. If you want to enjoy your hobby more, seek after God. If you want to elevate your career, if you want to elevate your marriage, if you want to elevate your family, seek hard after God. Pursue God. Find God. Love God. Revere God. Know God. Get in with God. It'll make you better in every imaginable way. Every way. It'll make every part of your life better in every imaginable way. To seek anything else before God really is the greatest absurdity in life. I say this as one who was an atheist, you know. I figured it out, thank God. He helped me figure it out. And I'll just tell you flat out, you have to be crazy not to serve God. You just have to be crazy. I know that's a harsh term, but you have to be just crazy. Many are insane. Insane with sin, insane with deception. The funny thing is that all of the crazy people think we're the crazy ones. Because we do believe and serve and follow hard after God. That it's not just a little sometimes thing on a Sunday. But it is our life. It is the essence of our being. Take a look at Mark chapter 5. You're familiar with this story, I'm sure. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and they're in the country of the Gadarenes. And of course, coming out to meet them, there is this man who is just full of evil spirits. A man with an unclean spirit, it says in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, and he's crying out, and he's cutting himself with stones, and he sees Jesus from afar, and he runs to worship him. And he cries out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And you know the story. I'm not going to read the whole passage here. I intended to just for time's sake. You know the story. Jesus relents to the request of those evil spirits to be cast out into swine, and the swine run off a cliff and drown themselves. And this man, well, take a look at verse 15. There were people who told of what had happened in the city, and the people in the city came out. And in verse 15 it says, they came to see Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion now sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed. And about the swine, then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. This has always amazed me. They see this wild man, this crazy, crazy man, brought to his senses, now at peace and calm, because Jesus helped him, and their response is, "Go away. I mean, they just saw what Jesus could do, and now they want him to go away. Come on, that's crazy. That just does not make sense. That's the kind of guy you want to hang out with. That's the kind of guy you want to be a part of your community. You don't want to push him away. Anyone who would shun the Lord Jesus, who would ignore him and even demand that he leave, I say they're insane. Sorry. Just my unofficial psychiatric diagnosis. They're crazy. But hey, ain't nobody crazy in here, right? We're following hard after Jesus. We're seeking hard after God. Number two, I got to move along here. Number two, Uzziah sat under anointed ministry. Back to verse 5 here, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. It did say he sought God all the days in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Uzziah was there listening to Zechariah. He recognized the value of faithful, anointed, scripture-based ministry in his life. Uzziah prospered in direct response and direct proportion to the level of the revelation that he received from the ministry of Zechariah. Listen, you will never prosper in God beyond your level of revelation in the Word. That's why it's so important to be part of a church that has a strong revelation in the Word. They're not easy to find. They are not easy to find. There are over 300,000 churches in America, you know, and if you're looking for that church that simply provides a nice little message and they'll have you out the door in 45 minutes, well, you can find that. You can find it out there. But if you want a church that has something to say, one that will bring real revelation and enlightenment from God's Word, I tell you, you have to search for it. And when you find it, get in it and stay. Did you hear that? It's important, that revelation, to have that Word. I've learned so much in good churches. I've learned a lot on my own. But I tell you what, there are things that Pastor Ben will say, and there are things that others have poured into my life that have made an entirely different understanding, given me an entirely different understanding of God's Word and helped me in so many ways. It is important. That's why we have two services a week here, you know. And I'm sad for all those who didn't make it to this one. We have two services a week because, and we have men's groups, and we have women's groups, and we have small group gatherings that have Bible-based words that are shared. All of this is important in your life. It's important. We have something to say, something that is important. And you know, Sarah and I, we drive all the way from Kewanee to be a part of this church. Why would we do that? I guarantee you there are at least 100 churches closer to our house than this church. You think we just like those long drives in the country and in the city and in the winter and dodging the deer and when gas is, you know, $4 or $5 a gallon? I tell you, some of you are very blessed to live with just a few miles, within a few miles of this church. But I tell you this, I hope that if, you know, let's say all the church leaders got together for a meeting and the meteor hit the building and it destroyed the whole church and it wiped out all of the leaders, I hope that you wouldn't just go, well, where's the next closest church? I hope that you would begin to search. And if you needed to travel, that you would travel to a good church that will bring a revelation of God into your life through good teaching and preaching in the Word. It's way too important to just choose a church out of convenience. My goodness. All right, got to move on. Number three, Uzziah fought the Philistines. This again, just read through chapter 26. And you'll see all of this. Uzziah fought the Philistines. In verse 6, in fact, it says, "Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines." The Philistines were the greatest enemy of Israel. They were not, this is interesting, they were not indigenous to the land of Canaan. That wasn't their homeland. They came from the island of Crete. You know, if you come from the island of Crete, you are a Cretan. And if you go to Titus chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it talks about Cretans. It says, "One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.'" And I like this. "This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." So, Cretans are what? They are liars. Cretans moved into the land of Canaan one generation before the Israelites built. They built five stronghold cities there. And of course, now the Philistines, they're gone. They're has-beens of history. But just as there are, you know, spiritual Israelites, there are also spiritual Philistines. I believe that we can make that correlation between the devil and his demons. And we have to fight against these Cretans. They're Cretans, I tell you. What are Cretans? Always liars, right? Devil's always trying to tell you that you can't do it, that God really doesn't care for you. Tries to tell you, sin is not so bad, you know. I mean, a little bit. No. They'll lie to you. They're evil brutes. I mean, I think they mug us all the time with the evil that's just in the world around us. Trying to force ungodly things on us. We have to be careful and we have to fight off those evil Cretans, the Philistines. And it also says that Cretans are lazy gluttons. They're always trying to lure us, believers, into complacency and to pleasing our flesh. Just relax. Take it easy. You don't have to work so hard. Well, you don't have to work so hard. Jesus has done the work. But you do need to move. You do need to do something. God has got a plan for your life, and He wants you to be productive. He's kind of built that into our own DNA. So we have to fight the Philistine spirits if we are going to succeed in life, just like Uzziah fought the Philistines in his day. And then four and five, these are the five things. Four and five, Uzziah built towers and he dug wells. Look at verses 9 and 10. "And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them." Verse 10, "Also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, and he loved the soil." Uzziah built towers, and he dug wells. What is this talking about? We are going to have to build towers of prayer if we're going to be successful in the Christian life. In other words, we need to get in the presence of God. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We want to dwell in the presence of God. He who dwells, not he who in absolute desperation calls out to God for the first time in the last 12 weeks. That's not a tower of prayer in your life. We need to build towers of prayer. We need to have solid structures of prayer in our lives. Uzziah built towers. And a tower, I tell you, a tower is not an easy thing to build. It's not easy to build, but it takes time and it takes consistency. It takes perseverance. We're always encouraging folks to pray, right? I'm encouraging it. As Uzziah built towers, we need to build towers of prayer. We need to be faithful to pray. And then Uzziah dug wells. He dug wells. What is that? Well, you dig a well so that you can keep fresh water flowing. He wanted fresh water flowing in his kingdom. So he dug wells. We all need fresh water flowing in our lives. Amen? Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7 is Jesus talking in verse 38. He says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." We need to dig wells. We need to have living water, that water flowing in our lives. Verse 39 gives us a little clarity here. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit." What was this talk about living water about? What was that? About the Spirit. Thank you very much. "He spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given," because Jesus was not yet glorified. What we're talking about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be digging wells. We need to have that flow. Once, have you noticed, if you go through a Christian bookstore, there are a lot of books at a Christian bookstore that deal with a common problem among Christians that we would refer to as being spiritually dry. You know, going through that desert experience. For the most part, those books are written by people who don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is dry at times if you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of speaking in tongues that brings that water, that flow, that life-giving flow into your life. You know, sometimes our wells can get stopped up, right? The Philistines stopped up Isaac's wells. You can read about that in Genesis 26. But Isaac, he redug them. If your well gets stopped up, if it's been a while since you've really been active in using the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, that part of your prayer life, well, by all means, do some more digging. Redig that well. Redig that well. Isaac redug wells. If it gets stopped up, do it again. It's time to do some digging. It's time to fight off the Cretans, right? The lies and the mugging of worldliness and the apathy that they try and bring to us. Redig. Keep digging. Get that living water flowing again. If we do these things, right, the five things that I talked about, we pursue God. We sit under anointed ministry. We fight off the Philistines, those lousy Cretans. And then we build strong prayer towers and we dig wells so that living water flows in our life. I tell you, we will succeed. And I'm here to tell you that's what we should be doing, following Uzziah's example in all of these things. But don't follow him in the next. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. Look what happens here. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah. And they said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You have no honor from the Lord God.' And then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, besides the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he was also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him." Verse 21, "King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper. for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And then his son became the king after his death. So what are we talking about now? Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. We all have to survive the tests of hard times. But you know, we also have to survive the tests of success. We don't often think of it that way. Uzziah was a mighty man of God. He had great success in life. He had great riches in life. He was a great king to this point. A mighty man of God until he wasn't. Until he got full of pride. See, Uzziah was unfaithful to the Lord. It said he was lifted up in his heart. I don't have time to go back and look at that. Let's just say Uzziah, because of his pride, because of his arrogance, because he thought he could take over the role of the priests, he was struck with leprosy. It broke out on his forehead, which I think is kind of interesting. How many of you have played that game where, you know, you put a little card or piece of paper on your forehead and you don't know what it says and everybody else is trying to help you understand or guess what it is? And you can't tell because it's on your forehead. You don't see it. Well, I think that's kind of the way it was. Uzziah had his leprosy break out on his forehead and he can't see it, but all of the priests see it. And that's the way it is with pride. We're often afflicted with spiritual pride and everyone else around us can see it, but we don't. We don't realize it, right? Pride is dangerous. Spiritual pride is the most dangerous. It is the most dangerous. Spiritual pride manifests itself in unteachableness. That's not really a word, you know. Spell check will underline that in red. Unteachableness. You know, there are people that just think they have it all together. They think they know it all. And if you try to bring correction into their life, we all might be able to see it, but because of pride, they are blinded to it. It's like leprosy on their forehead. They can't see it, and they just get angry with you. They are not open to correction. They are not open to learning something new, to be taught. Spiritual pride raises itself up in our lives with unteachableness and spiritual laziness. We think, well, we've already attained that level of spirituality and we don't need to grow anymore, and we don't even necessarily need to keep up all of the good habits of Christian life, you know, back to prayer and all of the stuff that we would do. Spiritual laziness is a trapping of spiritual pride. And of course, flirtation with the world and with sin. Again, we think we've gotten to a point where we're not tempted by those things. We are above it. Or we get to the, even in some tough cases, get to the point where they think, well, God is so gracious and blessing, it's not a big deal. Those who have spiritual pride, they refuse to submit to spiritual authority. And, you know, you don't even necessarily, well, how long do I want to go tonight? Not very long. I need to wrap this up. But let me say this. Those who refuse to submit to rightful authority of any kind have a pride problem. Those who refuse to submit to rightful authority of a spiritual kind have an even worse problem of pride, spiritual pride. And I'm always leery, I'm always very cautious of people who want to be on the fringes but never want to be in a place where they can receive correction or be even noticed for correction. You don't want to be those kind of people. We don't want to be those kind of people. Be open, be honest, don't hide things. Let yourself There is a difference between shame and spiritual pride, but they kind of run along the same tracks sometimes. So just be wary of that. If you bristle up when authority comes and speaks to you about some issue, you might want to do some checking. You know, get a mirror out, check your forehead. Is there anything popping up there? That's a sign of spiritual pride. It brought Uzziah's life to a terrible finish. I mean, for the rest of his days, even as king, he was separated from the community and separated from the people and unable to really benefit by the bounty that God had brought to Judah in those days. Do the right things. Avoid the spiritual pride. You'll be good. All right, I finish up here. Thank you, Lord, for showing us through Uzziah's life good, solid examples of how we can follow hard after you, how we can live lives that are pleasing and honoring and productive. And Lord, I thank you also that you can show us, even with the life of a man who was great, how it's easy to have that broken, to have it taken away, to fall from that position. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, as this message and the weeks, the days ahead are before us, as we think about Uzziah, as we think about these principles, Lord God, that you would help us to see in our own lives where we are, where we need to go, and help us to get there. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you that you are merciful. We thank you, Lord God, that when we do mess up, that you are always still there, loving and willing to help us once again be on the right path. And Lord, that you've given us many good examples, and certainly with our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord God. I ask that you would bless those who are here tonight. Let their households be strengthened. Let their lives be peaceful. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, we are people who like to pray. If you've got a prayer request, don't leave without asking. Got to get people involved in your life. Don't be prideful. Not to get on that. But people are here, and their desire, their fear.
Oh, bless his name.